Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
An independent scorecard of the government's progress on climate change and the environment has been published today with some mixed results. Environmental organisation Friends of the Earth commissioned academic experts to assess progress on commitments made in the programme for government on climate change and the environment, and it has given them marks out of 10 under 9 different categories. And Director of Friends of the Earth, Oisin Coughlan, joins me now in the studio. Oisin, you're very welcome. So how has the government fared overall?
Well, the independent panel that we commissioned came up with an overall grade of a C+, saying there was moderate progress. They said there was significant groundwork in a number of areas over the last year, in the first year of a 4 or 5 year programme, but that the pace of progress was too slow to meet the targets and the commitments the government itself had set in the programme for government. Mm-hmm. So for what I take from that, to coin a political phrase, is some done, a lot more to do.
OK, Eamon Ryan is putting a lot of focus on the need for public transport in his interview on Morning Ireland this morning on the need for changes in that regard. Is that being reflected in policy?
It's reflected in high-level policy so far, but in the last year what we saw was the investment made available to the budget last year in cycling and walking infrastructure. We won't know for sure are they following through on the public transport promise until the revised National Development Plan comes out in the coming weeks. That will be the key litmus test. The commitment in the programme for government is that we reverse the historical trend and give two-thirds of new investment to public transport and only one-third to roads. So that's a key one. We intend to do this scorecard again next year and each year of this government and future governments, and that will be a key test for next year's scorecard. Mm-hmm. But as yet, it's too early to tell. They score 6.5 for transport here, which is like moderate. There was a range, as you said, from climate and air quality and waste at the top to nature and agriculture at the bottom.
Yeah, and we'll come to those at the bottom in a moment. But waste scored 8.5. That was a pretty good score there. How did that happen?
It's because they have, it's basically a mix of government leadership and actually European legislation. But sometimes when there's new European legislation, Ireland drags its feet or looks for derogations. This time Ireland has embraced it and is really running with transposing the new single-use plastic rules. And there's a plan for a tax on disposable cups and deposit and return scheme. So a lot of policy decisions that had been knocking around for years and not been taken have been taken and embraced by this government. But of course, this is year one of four. We have to see, do they actually deliver on time, and do they have the impact then on our actual waste numbers over the coming years? But In terms of what could be reasonably expected within 1 year, they performed best of all on waste.
Okay, there was a good public response, wasn't there, on using cups that could be reused, so moving away from disposable cups. Then COVID happened and everybody went back to getting the disposable cup.
Yes, I mean, definitely we know for the last few years the people are sick of plastic, which is the campaign we run, as it's called, and want change. But there's only so much individuals can do themselves. What the government policies can do, like a deposit and return scheme on cans and bottles, and probably a tax on disposable cups, will make it sort of system wide for all of us. So it's about making the low polluting options or the zero polluting options accessible and affordable for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the bottom of the scorecard then, because it's pretty scathing when it comes to agriculture and forestry. 4 out of 10, and it describes the two main strategies for agriculture: Ag, Climate and Food Vision 2030, as being incompatible with climate goals and emission reduction targets. Explain why that is the case.
Well, because our overall emissions reduction target is 51% by 2030. That was in the programme for government. Now it's in the new climate law, so we have to do it. And yet the best offer so far from not just the agricultural industry, but from the Department of Agriculture, is in its Ag, Climatize and the Food Vision 2030, where it's at best it's a 16 or 18% reduction.
What do you think it should be?
Our Friends of the Earth would say at the very least a third, 33% over the next 10 years, which is still less than the rest of us. But the problem is if they only did the 20% or the 18%, the rest of us would have to cut all our emissions by 70%. Now that's not fair or feasible on everybody else in the next 10 years. So agriculture has to step up, not do as much because it's harder, not do as much as everybody else, it's harder in agriculture, but do more than they're currently offering.
What would that mean though for agriculture as a business if they were looking at a 33% reduction?
Well, I think there are both opportunities and challenges. The opportunities are that we don't produce enough of our own food here in Ireland. We still import an awful lot. And we devote one of the lowest percentages in the entire of the European Union to organic agriculture. And the key there is that the driver of a lot of this pollution from agriculture across climate, air and water is chemical nitrogen fertilizer, which is quite toxic in the amounts we use it. So we think the key lever here is actually capping and beginning to reduce year on year the amount of chemical fertilizer we use. And if we use that, we'll see all those measures of agricultural pollution declining in a positive way over the next decade. Mm-hmm.
It is a huge challenge, though, for those sectors, isn't it?
It is. But we need to see ways for them to diversify their revenue sources. And there are opportunities there. For example, just to use another example, ourselves and the IFA disagree about some things. We agree wholeheartedly about making it easier for farmers to put solar panels on their roofs and sell the power they use to the grid and therefore diversify their revenue. The same goes for community centres and GAA clubs and schools around the country. Mm-hmm. It's far too difficult for them to put solar panels on the roofs and to make money from that.
When it comes to agriculture, this is a sector which has been convinced, cajoled, subvented to produce more and more beef and to have more and more cows on their land. And now do exactly the opposite and do it quickly.
So I agree in a typical Irish fashion. I wouldn't start from here. I mean, to some degree, the mistake was made in 2015 during the time of recession where the government put a lot of eggs in the one basket of an agricultural boom, but that wasn't sustainable for the agricultural sector itself or for the economy as a whole. It reminds me of the fact we built 3 new peat stations in 2015 and we're still living with the legacy of trying to protect those workers and those communities as we now wean them off peat production. So we shouldn't make the same mistake with agriculture. We almost have, but we need to diversify and away from intensification as soon as possible. And the nitrogen fertiliser is the key lever because we can all understand that too much chemical fertiliser is bad. It's the key lever for beginning that shift.
Okay, there seems to have been an improvement on air quality. The smoky coal ban taking effect there, is it?
Yes, that is good news. I mean, that hasn't come into force yet, but they get marks for it here. And that's basically extending the protections we've had in Dublin since the late 80s to the whole of the country. And obviously everyone should have the same protections that the capital has. And we'll begin to see the effects of that as we did in Dublin over the coming years.
Okay, now we'll see the two major climate change initiatives beginning very soon. We'll have the Climate Action Plan, the 5-year carbon budget, which is coming up very soon, and that'll be interesting. That'll set limits on emissions from each sector of the economy and society. Is there anything that you think can be taken from this report and be used in consideration of those two initiatives coming down the tracks?
Well, I think that that the carbon budget, which has nothing to do with the fiscal budget, it's simply like how much pollution can we afford in the same way as how much money can we afford. That is about sharing out between the different sectors how much each sector is going to do, and that the Climate Action Plan is actually the policies to do that. So this is the moment where we need to see the debate between agriculture on the one hand, transport, and indeed the big industry on the other, as to who gets their share of the pollution pie, the emissions cake, and the kind of public debate about how we do this together and how we grasp the opportunities around energy savings and around warmer homes and cleaner air as we make this transition.
Okay, but if you're back here this time next year, which you say you will because you're going to do this again, you would expect the scores to be very different. I mean, would you expect every area to be up around the 8.5?
Well, if we can do that in 2 years, that'd be great. We certainly need to see a lot more. We need to see them maintain the progress in the areas where they scored well and absolutely focus now on nature and biodiversity, where there's supposed to be a citizens' assembly, but it hasn't happened, and on agriculture and forestry, where obviously they're not up to scratch.
Oisín, thank you very much for coming in. Oisín Coughlan there from Friends of the Earth.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.